Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle, streaming live on MyNorthWest.com, and don't forget about the venerable TheOutdoorLine.com with blogs, podcasts, and so very, very much more. Good morning, Rob Ensley.
Morning, how you guys doing up there?
Ensley rocking the Costa camo today. That's outstanding. Joey Pyburn. Joey Pyburn.
Good morning.
What's up, Vortex Breath?
Yeah.
We're gonna have a little Vortex content on the show today.
Vortex Breath.
Well, he did, man. He eats his binoculars about every year. So how you doing, Robbo? How's things going?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Yeah. I'm ready to go fishing, man.
The winter of your discontent?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, it's killing me. The weather the last couple of days has been beautiful, and I'm getting fired up. You know, I had some, this has been a tough last couple of weeks with the boat closure on the coast.
Oh, I know.
And all the boo-hoo, crybaby news. It's been tough, man. It's been really depressing, but I tell you what, we got some great news yesterday. My phone was ringing from the coast. There's steelhead on the coast, folks, and actually it's pretty good. I know you can't fish from a boat. But if you want to go out there and catch a steelhead, now is the time. They are coming in. There's been some big wild fish caught. The Forks area rivers are all fishing really well. I'm not going to say who I talked to last night, but I've got a couple good phone calls from out in that neck of the woods. They are catching some fish out there. Also got some good news yesterday that the Skagit River is going to open for the catch and release fishery. It's going to be open four days a week.
Yeah.
So, Skagit and Sauk, Saturday through Tuesdays from February 1st through April 15th. That's really exciting news. I also got a report just right on the heels of that somebody got some steelhead up there yesterday. So, you know, this is early for the Skagit, but there was a couple steelhead caught up there yesterday. So now we got a little bit of opportunity up there come springtime when we really want to be there. Late March, April on the Skagit system. Are you kidding me? I'm already licking my chops. I was already pulling the kicker motor off the boat last night and starting to look at getting the boat re-rigged for heading up there this spring. So good news.
And
we got good news.
You'll be ready to go by then. That hip will be it'll be in rowing shape.
Oh, I know. I hope so. I'm hoping the next month will be good. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But some good news. I mean, it's been tough news. Nothing but tough news here lately. So now we got some stuff to look forward here too. So
pull out the 10.5 footers and the high oar pins. Those high oar pins that I gave you is my permanent and, you know, everlasting
permanent invitation
on that boat.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
That's a way to buy yourself.
You should give him those back.
No, stop it. That's a bad idea.
Buy your own.
He'd have to replace them. And I'm not going to tell you the guy, Mike Greenleaf of Pacific Fabrication, that friggin' made those for me. So anyway,
he's a great guy. That's great news, man. I'm excited to get up there. I'll be up there as soon as duck season's over. You know. I got a bunch of buddies who will be up there fishing.
Because there's not enough waterfowl in your freezer right
yeah,
now. In your
yeah.
freezers. There's
well,
no way.
Well, then there'll be nothing to do. Marine Area 10 is no more. So, you know, at least that gives us something to go fish for locally here.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that in the second segment because you and I had a very special guest aboard the Sea Beast this week. And actually two of them. We should say two.
We had four of them.
We have four very special guests. We did. Yeah. That's true. That's a good point. Very good point. So,
we have some guests lined up here,
yeah,
too. 625. There's been this project going on the last couple of years over in Okanagan County, and we know this area very well. It's been overseen by Chase Gunnell from Conservation Northwest. It's a highway crossing where a lot of deer get tatered on the highway there, causing a lot of vehicle damage. It's a major crossing from the summer range to the winter range for mule deer over there in Okanagan County. And Conservation Northwest has been working on a pretty cool project over there to keep deer off the highway, get them underneath the highway. He's going to jump on. Chase Gunnell's going to jump on at 6:25 and talk about what they got going on over there. It's been on our radar for a couple of years, but we really have, you know, we just kind of been watching it from afar. Well, they just got some data on it that's really cool. They've had game cameras on it for the last year, and it's pretty cool.
Eye-opening.
eye-opening, sad, and wasteful, really. There's nothing sadder than you know, a deer jumping out in front of you. And, I mean, it's happened to me, and you know, it's a crappy deal, and it's dangerous, and really wasteful. So, yeah, it would definitely be a boost to the muley deer populations over there. Then our dear friend Lauren Bivens, a Harbor Marine, if we can't go to the boat show, dang it, we're bringing the boat show to you, all right? So one of the things that we've seen with regard to the evolution of electronics is everybody's got a tablet, everybody's got a phone, and they're super easy to you know, jump in your rig and just you put your phone in a holder and it's getting charged and everything like that. Well, why not bring those car creature comforts into your boat, right? Joey, you and I standardize freaking everything. We fish the same. You know, we know what we're fishing on the boat with gear. All our crab gear's rigged up the same way. Well, if you take some of that same idea and rig your car creature comforts into your boat, it just makes things a whole lot easier. And then, so Lauren Bivens, Harbor Marine, jumping in to talk to us about this new ROKK, R-O-K-K, by ScanStrut, phone and tablet holders for your boat, and how that can, you can also put Blue Sea Systems USB. He's got a whole bunch of killer ideas. And the bottom line is, fellas, if you still have those old style round fuses, okay, that are, you don't know where they are because they're in line somewhere, those things always go crappy on you because there's this little spring in there that goes rusty and you lose electrical connections. I mean, who did we have on, Robbo? One of the bass guys, I think it was Brandon Polinick, that you know, we talked to him about, listen, you're fishing a big money bass tournament and your main sounder goes down, you are blind as a bat. He goes, you know what I do? I take all the fuses offline. I get them out of the circuit because I would rather have that unit blow up than have it not work. And that's an interesting and very aggressive strategy.
Well, no, don't be encouraging people to do that now.
But what I'm going to try to talk them into is co-locating the fuses, getting away from those inline fuses and going to a fuse block. That's my point.
Yeah.
That's what Lauren's going to talk to us about. Yep. And then Robbo, we got our good buddy Jason Brooks jumping on.
Yeah, Jason was just over on Lake Chelan, but kokanee fishing is just really good over there. So he's got some intel on Lake Chelan, and he's also got Vortex has a new red dot out, and he's got a pretty unique use for that red dot. We've got a turkey season coming up here. Jason had a chance to use some of this stuff last year, and I tell you what, he was really pleased with how that worked out. And so he's going to talk about not only Chelan, but that new Vortex red dot, a 725. And then we're probably going to be talking some steelhead here. Obviously, blackmouth is in the rearview mirror. You know, there's still some blackmouth opportunity down in South Sound, down in Area 13, but it's just, there hasn't been much going on down there. It's been kind of a shaker fest in 13. So really, our next blackmouth opportunity is going to be March 1st up in Area 5, up in the Strait, up in CQ. And so we're kind of talking steelhead here for a while. And that's just fine with me because we got great water conditions on the coast right now. I pull up the Ho River this morning. I mean, it's dropping. It is dialed in. It's going to be good for the next week. I think we've got cold weather coming in next week with just a little bit of rain. So we've got great steelheading conditions here, whether it be on the North Sound rivers or out on the coast. It's go time. Can't fish from a boat, but that's okay. Use the boat for transportation.
Yep.
And jump out of the boat, throw some spoons, jigs. A lot of folks are fishing worms on jig heads right now. And there's some great companies making some, actually they're worm keeper jig heads. I've shied away from that for years because you couldn't keep the worm on the actual jig. Yeah. Just slide off. Every time you set the hook, the worm would slide off. And others, everybody's making worm keeper jig heads now that make fish and worms under a float just so easy. So use some of these techniques and go out and get some steelhead, man. It's go time.
Yeah, you know what's funny? When I was younger, if you had an issue like that, which we all did, right? You just dealt with it. It's like, oh, the worm.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't take very long before these young guys figure out a fix for it, and they just make everything better, easier.
That's right. Damn kids. We call them damn kids, right? That's, damn we used to kids. Be damn kids. I guess we're not damn kids anymore. But
no.
this is the 22nd anniversary of Joey's 22nd birthday, I think, isn't it? Yeah. So it is. Happy birthday, Joey Pyburn, sitting
Joe
right here.
Joe Pyburn, today's your birthday?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. He's another year wiser. There's no question about it.
Yep. I'm just getting a little slower every year.
tell me about it, dude.
Yeah.
Tell me about the odometer clicking
Preach
over.
Into the choir,
no question
buddy.
About it. Don't look now, but you know, shoot, we started this show back in 09, Robbo, and we're looking at the freaking 12th birthday of this particular drill. Hey, run deep and save big on Canon downriggers. Save up to $100 on the Optimum TS. Save another $25 $100 on Magnum. Magnum TS, jump over to CannonDownriggers.com. All right, we had a very, very special guest on the Sea Beast this week that was a lot of fun, really cool deal. I'm going to tell you about it next. 90 seconds. Give us 90 seconds. We'll be right back on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
From the peaks of the Olympic Mountains to your stereo, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get ready to repower with the Yamaha Outboard's Power of Reliability sales event. Zero down and rates as low as 399 APR on a Yamaha of your choice. Go check all that out and more, including the new Helmmaster EX integrated boat control system at YamahaOutboards.com. So we got to spin the Yamahas this week. On area 10.
Yep.
One last time, and the old Damon Heward came and brought a guest.
Yeah.
Right. And if you're a Husky fan, you know the name Chris Peterson. I mean, you know, when I grew up and Jim Owens was a coach, and then here comes DJ Don James, and that was the high water point of the UW football program until Chris Peterson showed up, and so to have him on the boat was a kick in the pants. It's amazing he'd been in this area for so long and yet never had fished saltwater.
Yeah. Well, and it was pretty cool to see how excited he got. Like, I've seen him, you know, you watch the Huskies score a touchdown and you see him get excited and smile and happy. And, man, when he pulled that rod out of the rod holder and we put that fish in the boat, I mean, face exploded. It was awesome.
Yeah, he was lit.
And
up.
What a great guy, man. Just one of the nicest guys. And I think we may have, hooked him.
Oh yeah, he wants to come back. He's a Dungeness crabivore too.
Oh yeah, we'll hook him up.
Yeah,
there.
We'll hopefully get.
I've
him back
seen him
out
when
sometime.
They fumbled the football too. Did anybody drop fumble anything or lose a fish? Or
actually,
anything? Did
he,
anybody have to do bear crawls or anything like that?
He had four turnovers before he scored.
Yeah,
dude, I'm not even kidding you. And so I put this big old spoon down in the dirt, and man, you don't get. That's this time of year in Area 10. You don't get many that pull it out of the clip itself.
Yeah.
And I saw the downrigger hit, boom, pulled it out of the clip. And I was over there just, cranking away on it, got a good head shake out of the deal, handed him the freaking rod, and then I made the stupid mistake of slowing the boat down.
Yeah.
And it did the big fish flasher spoon deal on me and spit the hook. Oh, my goodness, Kathy.
Oh my goodness.
Here comes breakfast.
Thank you very much.
Oh boy. But to have Chris Peterson on the boat was a kick in the pants. So him and Damon both got fish, and then Joey on the cleaning table. He's starting to cut them up, and I take the big paper plate and dump a bunch of soy sauce and sesame oil in there, and then Joey was cutting some strips, and man, they were eating them as fast as
awesome.
I mean, yeah, salmon sashimi.
Awesome.
Now it's a bummer deal that we are not going to get a reopener on Marine Area 10. But we were dealing with such a small number of impacts that it's not entirely surprising. I honestly think, and Robbo, you mentioned this to me last night too, that we are going to, when the forecast become announced, I think we're going to see an upturn in abundance up and down the coast. We've already seen some numbers coming out of Buoy 10, right? The early Columbia forecasts, that's an upward trend. We've seen some Canadian numbers that also indicate an upward trend. And word on the street is that when ADF&G, Alaska Department of Fish and Game, issues the AI or abundance index, we're going to see a similar trend up north.
Yeah, we've been hearing rumors the last couple of weeks. I think we're going to hear something pretty quick here. But there's already a lot of kings in Southeast right now. I know where we're at and Craig, they're already catching them like crazy there. And that usually doesn't happen this time of year. Last year was good, too. And last year we just saw an unprecedented number of kings there. It was just off the charts good kingfish in the whole summer up there. And this year it's looking to be the same. And hearing rumors that the abundance index is going to look pretty good when it comes out here. Now, I don't know when that's going to happen, but I'm hearing they're going to pop the news pretty quick here. And I don't know if that's driven by Columbia River fish. It could be because Columbia River is on the upswing. I just hope that some of them take a left and come into the sound, because the sound numbers have been pretty rough here the last couple of years. So I'm really hopeful that we see an uptick here in the sound. But we should hear something hopefully pretty quick, and then Washington can start crafting some seasons here, for our local fisheries.
My hope is that an increasing abundance, which I believe will be the case when we see our Washington forecast, is going to be the rising tide that's going to lift all of our harvest boats. And I think in that, we may get some relief and may return some opportunity, especially in the wintertime, because, you know, now is the time that the rubber hits the road on that deal, where now, you know, we always had, you know, Area 7 to fall back on, or still some opportunity in Area 9. And even I would like to see Area 9 come back more than Area 10, because it just seems like that Area 10 holds so many more of these sublegals that grind up our quota. And when you look at the sublegal impacts versus the actual fish harvested, it's not a very efficient fishery with regard to us, you know, getting what we want out of the fishery, which is something on a barbecue.
Yeah.
You know, but so that remains to be seen, and it's conjecture at this point. But boy, I tell you what, looking at it from here, Robbo, it's really, really hard not to be optimistic about what we're going to come into this season. You know, so look, if we have a few more Chinook around and we have increase in coho, which we definitely should, and it's a humpy year, I don't see how we don't get more days on the water.
Yeah.
You add to that the fact that we're going to get the border popping open. It's probably late March, okay? So then that's going to, you know, that gives us a Canadian opportunity right back. Because I talked to Jason Tinelli this week, Robbo, and Joe, you mentioned too, that the Chinook fishing off of Vancouver Island right now is a little more than solid.
Yeah, it's really good.
Can you imagine?
I've been watching some posts from him, and you talked to Tinelli or Essanides up there.
Tinelli, I talked to Jason. I talked to Tinelli.
Yeah. Oh yeah, okay. Well, both those guys they got their finger on the pulse, and Essanides from Bonchovy Charters, they've been roping blackmouth up there like crazy. I don't know. We'll see, but I mean, everything's pointing to a good summer. The one question mark is whether those fish are going to take a left and come into the Sound. And those are the numbers I want to see, because I really think we're going to be looking good on the Columbia, on down the coast. I think our coastal fisheries are going to be pretty solid. We might be hamstrung by some coho numbers out there. You know, the Queets and some of those coastal rivers can kind of hang us up a little bit on our Chinook fisheries. But I really think we're going to be solid out of the coast. That's just the one question I have. I just really want to see some more fish coming into the Sound here for everybody local. I was just talking to a buddy last night. He's got a small boat, you know. I was like, hey, it's going to be solid on the coast. He's like, yeah, that doesn't work for me. I got a fish in the Sound. So anyway,
yeah,
we'll wait and see what's going on there. Oh, for sure.
And when you look at WDFW stats about effort and angler, you know, angler days on the water, there's no question about it that three-quarters of the effort in the state of Washington is in Puget Sound.
Well, that's where the population is, that's where a guy can launch his boat and run 10 minutes and fish in protected waters.
And that's what being
protected
here is all about, is sleeping in your own bed, getting up in the morning and getting out on these fish, right?
Yeah.
So if you don't want to sleep in your own bed, if you want to sleep on Haida Gwaii on the Queen Charlotte Islands, jump on to peregrinelodge.com. Come with us on the listener trip June 13th. It's Father's Day weekend. I talked to Lisa Killick yesterday, and the early forecasts have come in for the Queen Charlottes. It's going to be freaking amazing. Plus all the bottom fish that didn't get molested last year, right? So we may even have Lisa on the show. But if you want to jump onto that listener trip, please take a look at it. As you know, this is boat show weekend coming up, and typically by now that trip is sold out. So sign up, folks, and go molest a bottom fish.
And
the biggest Chinook of your life in the Queen Charlottes, no question about it. So this week I had the occasion to drive over to Clarkston, Washington, okay? And I got just this, I was taking the boat over there. We're putting some experimental floorboards on the Duckworth and a new transducer and some other cool stuff too, vertical zip wake trim tabs, thank you. And I got just this side of Washtucknut. Now let's see on the right side, here's this beautiful rooster. I mean, long tail, you know, just beautiful big rooster. He didn't like what he saw. He jumps up, okay, and takes out the grill of my brand new freaking 2020 Silverado, okay? So that grill alone is like a grand. Plus having the thing put in. So Tobek's going to love me because I'm going to submit it to the insurance right away. Mm-hmm. So that's a bird. And it's going to be $2,000. What happens when a guy runs into a mule deer on a road?
Yeah, a lot of the time, your car is totaled.
Yeah, right through the
nowadays, you know, these rigs, it doesn't take much.
No.
And they're totaled.
Radiator through the windshield.
Okay? Airbags deploy.
Dude, it's not a good scene. So Conservation Northwest is heading up this project on Highway 97, basically from the Janus Bridge through Riverside. Chase Gannell of Conservation Northwest joining us next to tell us about this vital project. It's going to save lives, going to cost a few bucks, but it's a real cool project. Stay tuned. Chase Gannell, Conservation Northwest, and the mule deer, let's call it a preservation project, right? Yes. In the Okanagan, right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the POMAC Tech Line. POMAC has all the gear for all your techniques, and SMI shellfish gear is simply the best. POMAC, we catch big fish.
Head over to bow-mac.com. They got some steelhead gear that we just may be figuring out a way to use.
We need it.
The bobber doggin floats and a whole bunch of other stuff. In the meantime, log on to conservationnorthwest.org. That's the website of our next guest, Chase Gunnell. Good morning, Chase, and welcome to the show.
Morning, Chase. Buddy.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
How you doing this morning, man?
I'm doing good. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I appreciate you joining me.
Love you for that.
Talk about the Safe Passage 97 project.
Yeah, we've been watching this project from afar, and we caught you at just the right time. You guys just got a bunch of numbers back on this project. You've been monitoring some of the deer crossings and the stuff going on over there in Okanagan County. And, of course, Okanagan County is near and dear to us. We've all hunted there most of our lives. I've hunted over there 30-some years, and so is Joe and Tom. And we love that place, and we're very familiar with that stretch of highway, too, that you guys have been working on. Talk about the highway or the Safe Passage 97 project and what you guys have been doing over there in Okanagan County, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I hunt over there as well, and mm-hmm. It is, as any hunter that hunts mule deer in Washington knows, the Okanagan is the home to our state's biggest herd, and that's something we got to protect, particularly given some of those trends around mule deer in this state. You know, we are facing some challenges when it comes to these deer. They are declining in many areas, and we need to do everything we can to turn that around. And this project, this partnership between Conservation Northwest and the Mule Deer Foundation is one of the ways we're working to do that. So there on Highway 97 between Tenasket and Riverside, you've got a stretch of highway that has the worst instance of deer vehicle collisions in the state. Up until recently, we were looking at about 350 deer vehicle collisions per year just in this one 12-mile stretch of Highway 97. And so our organizations, along with the Department of Transportation and the Colville Confederated Tribes, we had been going to the legislature and saying, hey, we got to do something about this. I mean, I heard Nellie's story about the rooster. Every person we talked to in this community up there in the Okanagan Valley, they've got a story about running into a deer in this stretch of highway. We've got a gentleman, a video online that you can see, who just about lost his life from hitting one of these deer. And so everyone in this community has known for a long time that we got to do something about it, not just hunters, but truckers and agricultural workers. This is a real problem. The legislature, unfortunately, just the way things have been going down in Olympia, we had not been able to get any funding for this effort, even with the Department of Transportation support. So the Mule Deer Foundation and Conservation Northwest, we didn't want to just wait around. We got to work, and we raised about $260,000 over the last 2 years to get this project going, to say, hey, can we get a pilot piece installed so we can show you how well this works, and then we'll come back to the legislature. And so that's exactly what we did. We went in, and we installed the first mile of fencing along the highway to keep deer off the road. But as you guys know, deer have to move. They have to be able to migrate seasonally. They have to be able to get from their summer range to their winter range. They've got to be able to move around. So we don't want to just fence them off the highway. We want to add in wildlife crossings under the highway that allow them to move back and forth like they need to do. And as you've probably seen, I know others have seen, those have been really successful up on I-90. Other states like Wyoming and Montana have them. So we know they can work. And after we went in and renovated the Janus Bridge to serve as a wildlife crossing, in the past year, we've seen more than 2,000 uses by mule deer. That's more than six a day. So obviously, these animals are responding really quickly. We've got the data to show it. There's some new stuff out from WashDOT this week. And here we are. It's the legislative session again, and we're going back to Olympia saying we need some funding to help finish the job.
So, Chase, we're talking with Chase Gunnell of ConservationNorthwest.org this morning. We're talking about Highway 97, basically between Janus Bridge and Riverside. And we've all driven over Highway 90, and we've seen that overpass that helps get those elk and deer across Highway 90. I mean, that was an extremely dangerous situation where you could potentially have elk on an interstate. And that's just a recipe for disaster. But what you're proposing are a series of underpasses. And in this rolling country, it's not that much much of a biggie. It's not that big of an ask. But, you know, you mentioned, you know, hey, dude, that rooster through my frickin' grill is going to be $1,500 to $2,000. You've got some stats on your one sheet here that shows one deer collision is between $6,500 and $7,000 per vehicle, costs the public more than $2.5 million every year. With that cost set against what the $4 million cost of this entire project, this is a great opportunity for the state to get behind this, save these deer. It's such a lose-lose, Chase. When a vehicle hits it, nobody wins in that situation, man.
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And this has been going on for a long time in this area. We've gone to the legislature a couple times now trying to get more funding. We didn't come through, so we got the ball rolling, and here we are back in Olympia. So given that this is a budget year, there's a lot of asks in front of the legislature and the governor. There's going to be a big transportation budget this year. They're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 to $25 billion for the transportation budget this session. This project, this $18 million that we're asking for, now there's a few different phases there that are about $4 million each. But given that they're looking at a $20 billion budget this year, we think $18 million to save a few hundred mule deer per year, to prevent motorists from getting in very expensive collisions, and to help reconnect these landscapes. I mean, you guys know how wild it is up there in the Okanagan. I love hunting and fishing up there as well. These are some of the best places we've got left, and we're not going to be able to conserve every place as the state grows, but if we can connect some of those wild places together through things like wildlife crossings, we can reduce this needless loss of life. That's going to pay for itself in just a few years.
Chase, well, we talked a lot about the – oh, go ahead, Joe. Yeah, go ahead, man. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Rob's always trying to cut me off.
He is.
I can't
so
see you
way.
on the camera, so go ahead.
So what can Rob, Tom, and I and our listeners do to help? What can we do, man? Because, look, every time they build one of these little communities in the winter range,
yep.
Look, those folks are paying tax dollars. The community's getting money. The state's getting money. I think we got to push on the state to, hey, you're taking away winter range. You're taking away access for these deer to get to the winter range. We got to give back, man.
Joey, I'm so glad you brought that up, because you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, our mule deer and elk too, in a little different extent, our mule deer have great summer range up in the mountains. The limiting factor here in Washington State is winter range and access to winter range. It's those migration corridors that take them down into the shrub steppe and the sagebrush where many of them spend the winter. Those areas are shrinking from development, and we need to not only preserve what winter range we have left, we need to make sure that those migration corridors are intact. And this is a project that aims to do that. You know, I've been working with Conservation Northwest about 7 years. I worked down at Olympia before that. I'm someone that loves, you know, can't wait to go over to the Metau every fall to go hunting. There's a lot of folks like myself and like you guys, but if we don't speak up, if we don't band together and get our message to Olympia to say that, hey, fish and wildlife are a priority in this state, $18 million to help save 350 mule deer a year is not a big ask, especially when we're already spending $2 million a year on cleanup. So what I'd ask you to do is keep pushing that message you just did. We have to protect and conserve winter range for our deer and elk. But in this case, for the Safe Passage 97 project, we've got some great bipartisan support from the local legislators. Folks like Representative Joel Kretz and Senator Shelley Short have already introduced a request to fund this project this legislative session. They know all about this. They're totally supportive. But we need the rest of the lawmakers down in Olympia to pay attention too, because they're going to have to vote on the budget, and we want to make sure this is included. So if you want to reach out to your state lawmakers, we've got an easy form to do so. It's on our website. It's a partnership between Conservation Northwest and the Mule Deer Foundation. So you just go on there and you can enter your information, and it'll send a message that says, hey, this is important to me. Deer and elk are important to me. We want to have these wildlife crossings and this deer fencing to keep motorists safe and to keep deer from getting splat on the highway. And, you know, I don't think that's too much to ask in this session where the legislature's talking about a $20 billion transportation budget.
Now, right after the show, I know us three will be getting on there, Chase, and sending our legislators a little note. Now, you mentioned that you head over there hunting every year. I just got my Vortex catalog, and I'm fingering through the catalog, and I'm like, there's Chase. Chase is in the Vortex catalog. What are you doing in there? What do you got? What plans do you have for the year ahead?
One of my friends sent me that photo. But yeah. Rob, I've gone up to Southeast on Prince of Wales and hunted the last 2 years, as I think you know. And we had a good friend who's just an incredible photographer with us last year. Now, of course, it rained like a monsoon for the first five days of the hunt. But then the one day where the skies opened up and it was sunny, we killed two nice Sitka bucks. So that was a photo from that trip, and it is really one of the highlights of my year, is getting up there and chasing those Sitka blacktails in the Alpine.
Are you going back up there? Are you heading back up again next fall? What are your plans, man?
You know, those 5 days of monsoon rain after doing that 2 years in a row, I think we're going to take a break this year.
It's going to dry out.
You're going to go someplace warm and dry?
Yeah. Well, actually, that's exactly the plan, although it may be a little wet. But, yeah, I'm going to take the break from Southeast Alaska this year. I'm sure maybe I'll do some fishing around here and plenty of other things. But I'm getting ready for a trip to go hunt axis deer and mouflon sheep in Hawaii. I've got some colleagues over there with the National Wildlife Federation, and COVID willing, we'll be heading over there in a few months for a little spring hunt.
That's what 10 days of pouring down rain in Southeast does for you. You're going to end up in frickin' Hawaii. That's outstanding.
Yep.
Funding's needed to save lives on Highway 97. It's a safe passage 97 for people and wildlife. Between Riverside and Tenasket, more than 350 vehicle-deer collisions occur every year in a 12-mile stretch of Highway 97.
If you care about mule deer like we do, do something about this.
ConservationNorthwest.org. Chase Gunnell, thank you very much for your time, buddy, and good luck hunting in Hawaii, man. And I don't know how you're going to keep those critters cold once you drop them, but good luck, man. All right.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Thanks, Chase.
Coming up next, Raymarine Picks of the Week here. What is the last week of ducks? It is. But we got some lakes. We got some boat improvement projects. We got a lot more coming at you next here on the Raymarine Picks of the Week on 710 ESPN's The Outdoor Line right here.
Welcome to the Outdoor Line Picks of the Week, presented by Raymarine Electronics. Don't just go fishing, go hunting underwater. Raymarine, simply superior.
Log on to raymarine.com. You'll find the Big Splash sales event. Save up to $2,000 on new Raymarine and FLIR at raymarine.com. I tell you what, gang, the pick of the week for me is the Seattle Boat Show online.
Yeah, that's number one on the list here. January 28th through the 31st, Seattle Boat Show Connected. Log on to seattleboatshow.com. You can buy your tickets, and you can walk the red carpet virtually. you're going to have to pipe in the smell, that new boat smell, somehow, some way. But maybe you can get some of the little Christmas tree deals down at Napa or something and hang in your new car smell in the office.
The aluminum welding shop.
There you go.
Stinky tree and, the fiberglass resin stinky tree right there. That'll do it too.
But they got some cool stuff, obviously, and you can walk the red carpet. They got a bunch of high-tech stuff going on with the show this year. And word on the street is that a couple of dealerships here are building custom. They've taken brand new heavy gauge aluminum saltwater boats and thrown them into some custom shops. I know Thrier's Marine has one up at Reddick Manufacturing right now that they're going to kick out this week. It's like taking your stock car and putting it in a hot rod shop and souping it up. And there's going to be some cool boats in the boat show this year. So definitely check out Seattle Boat Show Connected. We also have to say happy birthday to Browning Firearms today, 166 years old today. You know, we've been looking at this 6.8 Western. We talked about it, I think, last week or the week before. I don't know too many firearm manufacturers that would build 21 different rifles chambered in 6.8 Western. You announce a new caliber. Oh, we got one or two offerings in it, and that's it. 21 different rifles chambered in that caliber. They're definitely one of the most prolific and successful firearm manufacturers in history, right there. So
everybody I talk to, everybody's heard about this, and they all want to know all about it. I think it's going to be, a pretty popular round.
Yeah, it's cool. Anyway, they're a successful company. I know, me personally, I'm just thrilled to be working with them, and they're 166 years old today. So happy birthday, John Moses
birthday
Browning.
With Browning.
You do.
Yeah, you do.
Joey Browning.
Greatness. Yeah. So picks of the week, ducks, and more ducks this week. You got 8 days left, and we've got some great weather coming this week. We've got a little snow in the forecast. Got some wind, some rain, some snow, some absolutely awful weather, which spells duck hunting to me. Mm-hmm. I know, Joe, you'll be out there probably every day this week chasing ducks.
Yeah, and this nice weather pattern we've been in has really affected how much duck is going into my freezer. So, and you know, those ducks just get kind of out of their pattern of like going to their roost and then having to get to their feed, you know, wind and rain. But this cold weather, they're going to want to feed. They're going to get off the water. And finally, we'll probably see some good duck hunting here. It's been a little stale, you know, the last 10 days or so.
Well, for sure. And you mentioned water, get off the water. Well, there's been water everywhere. Well, now all the sheet water is going to dry up in the fields a little bit, and it's going to concentrate the ducks again. Ducks have been scattered for the last couple of weeks with all these monsoon rains we've had. So definitely this last week, it's going to be good. Going to be really good. Chris Saniel called last night. He had a limit, three-man limit yesterday. At, I don't know, 9 o'clock they were done. So this week's going to be good, so get out and shoot some ducks. On the east side of the mountains, we're going to have Jason Brooks on here in just a little bit, middle of the next hour, to talk about Lake Chelan. The kokanee fish has been on fire over there. They're still getting rainbows over on Rufus Woods, so that's going
on
over on
the Monday,
east side.
Dude.
And we are talking steelhead now. It's all been bad news on the steelhead front here, but lo and behold, the steelhead are hitting the coast right now. The Forks area rivers are in primo shape. They're just dropping in, got that nice, beautiful steelhead green color that we all love. And they are catching steelhead out there. Can't fish from a boat, but that's okay. Doesn't matter. Yeah, maybe take your raft, take your boat out there, jump out, fish some of the holes, jump in, run down to the next spot. And instead of, you know, for years, we've been fishing 15, 16 miles of river. We'll chew off these big chunks of river and make one or two casts in each hole and move on. Chew off a nice little 4 or 5 mile piece of river
and spend some time
in there and catch some fish. There's fish out there. Also, the Skagit River system, we just got some good news yesterday that there will be a catch and release fishery up there this spring. February 1st through April 15th, it's going to be open Saturdays through Tuesdays. There's just enough fish in there. The forecast is for just enough steelhead to come back in there to have a fishery. So they had to restrict a little bit, just 4 days a week. But at least we got some opportunity up there. I know I'm super excited to get up there this spring and chase some steelhead. It's going to be open from the Dalles Bridge up to Marble Mount. And then the Sauk River will be open from the mouth on up to Darrington.
And you can fish out of a boat.
You can fish out of a boat. You cannot run a powerboat on the Sauk River anymore. That'll be drift only in there. But you can fish out of a boat up there, which is exciting. So that's good news for steelheaders. And really, the pink worm thing. Well, it's not even a pink worm thing. You can't even really call it a pink worm drill anymore because now it's more like black worms and blue worms.
Every color worm.
Nightmare worms. And,
you have to have black with a chartreuse head.
Absolutely.
Chartreuse with a black head. Mm-hmm. Pink with a black head. Black with a pink head. I mean, they have to figure out how to sell more worms.
Now,
it's like,
well,
you can't just have one package
of
pink worms.
But here's the thing.
Now you have to have 30 different packages of worms.
But Robbo has the time to rig all those worms for us. Because the minute you hit a branch with one of those worms and put it in the tree, you are going to get lit up, dude. It's like, I was wearing one of those inflatable life vests, right? He freaking ripped the cord and just about pushed me overboard when I freaking dropped a freaking worm in a tree. All right, he doesn't. So you get a bunch of worms rigged up, Robbo. So you're not.
I will. Well, the good thing now, everybody's fishing them on jig heads now too. I mean,
which is super easy.
Yeah. When I was guiding up there, everybody knew where I was fishing because the whole riverbank could be polluted with rubber worms hanging in all the trees, you know. And John Koenig, both of us were fishing pink worms all the time. And you could tell what stretch of river we were on by all the pink worms hanging in the trees.
Because that's what was in the trees.
Oh, dude,
You could see where the bucket was by how many worms were hanging.
Oh, those God, were hungry we would too, laugh so you know? Hard. I remember John telling me, he's like, man, when you go down around this corner, look 100 feet up in this tree, there's a pink worm in the top of that tree. No kidding, I went around the corner and one of his guests had left one way in the top of this tree. Oh, we would laugh so hard.
Oh,
but now, listen, nowadays,
the helicopter cast.
You can side drift them still, and it works great. But a lot of folks are fishing them under a float now, and you don't lose near as much gear. We've got these worm keeper jigs now. Addicted's got one. B&R Tackle's got one. I was just looking at another company last night that had one. But you can get these worm keeper jigs, and what you do, you take a longer worm, because they're really thick, you know, in the center section of them is really thick, and you chop the front 2-3 inches off, you slide it on that hook, and you really trim it down, and you take a quarter ounce jig head, slide on maybe 3.5-4 inches of that worm, and you got a lethal setup for catching wild winter steelhead, and you're not losing as much gear. You're not leaving as much junk behind in the river, and it's just super
when we go up there, I'm going to see how high I can get one of those things into a tree.
Yeah.
I'm going to launch it.
Joey's not taking that as a mark of shame. He's looking at it as a challenge. It's a challenge. I
remember last time we went, Joe had a couple. He launched a couple up into the trees there, too, last time we went.
Hey, man. I'm not perfect.
You ain't losing gear. You ain't trying. Hey, gang, it's boat improvement season. I mean, I took my boat out of service. It's you know, back at the factory right now, getting some work done to it. But it just struck me this week as I was emptying the boat out how folks need to kind of do that. And you need to start fresh, because if you're keeping gear on your boat over the winter, A, you don't know exactly what you got on the boat. B, some of that stuff's getting moist in your boat, and it's not going to be in the same shape that you thought it was going to be. I mean, Joey, you and I were going through gear this morning before the show. We're going through the Rise Davies catalog and figuring out what we need. But you know, you end up, most guys will end up with more gear on their boat than they need, and it ends up in a pile, and at the bottom of a pile, you don't even know what you've got.
Yeah.
So organization is huge on your boat, man. Getting all that gear off and going through it in the off season, this is a great use of this time.
Yeah. Also, just getting all that gear off, you know, on the sides and the gunnels, you have all those trays. They just end up collecting spoons and hooks and squid and whatever, you know, lead, banana weights, and it all ends up rusting.
Yeah.
Get all that stuff off, scrub your boat down, and organize.
Well, and scrubbing it down, because I'm telling you, none of the boat is not fine wine. It does not improve with age, right? And if you've got a cabin boat, you need to get a wet vac in there and get all that old crappy water, because you know what that stuff is? If you walk in the cabin, of a boat, that any boat that has any kind of top, and you're bringing fish guts and everything, and you know, blood and salt water and all this kind of stuff, and it drips down in the bilge and it stays there. Folks, that stuff ain't water. It's not. It's a greasy, icky slurry that you need to remove. Otherwise, your boat's gonna. That's what your boat's gonna smell like inside.
Well, you're talking about organizing your gear and whatnot. One thing that you really need to look at is pick up a couple of waterproof boxes, especially for your spoons. There's nothing more. It just ticks me off when I have my favorite spoons for catching salmon in the salt. I throw them in my box, and then I go back maybe even just a week later, and it's just a big pile of rust. What I do is I rinse them off with fresh water. You got to dry those spoons off with a towel before they go in the box, or they're going to rust. So I just dry them with a little towel. They get hit with fresh water. And then both Plano and Flambeau are making some really cool waterproof boxes right now, and they've got rust inhibitors in them. Get yourself one of those boxes. You're going to save yourself a lot of money in the end. Not only, like we do, we upgrade the hooks on all of our spoons. Not only are you spending some money on those hooks, all those spoons, they're not cheap anymore.
They're cheap.
Get yourself some of those boxes. Get yourself organized. I know all my favorite spoons now. At least I know when I go back this spring, when I get back to Alaska, I know all my stuff's going to be there, and it's going to be fine. So at least if one of the guys hasn't stolen it out of the boat between now and then.
That's always a challenge. But something else too is Joey and I, through the course of a summer, go through so many different spoon combinations. We end up with a whole bunch of stuff rigged up and hanging in the cabin. Okay, dude, I went through the boat and I cut all the leaders and all the swivels off that stuff, right? And all the hooks, and I ordered, you know, a bunch of new Gamakatsu Open Eye Siwash Big River. That's my favorite spoon hook right now, and probably will be forever. Is that Gamakatsu Big River Open Eye Siwash? And if it's a 4-inch spoon, you need to be running a 4-aught on there. And if it's, you know, and so just by freshening that stuff up, you're not going to suffer that break off. I mean, our time on the water right now is so precious. We need to take advantage of downtime like this to get ready for those opportunities we have. And I can't wait to get out and see you in March, man.
So
I just can't wait.
So I think one of the first fish we lost with Coach was on the plug.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Plug goes down with a brand new hook on it. Okay. Coach fighting the fish. It's behind the boat. We see it. It's a key. It's the first keeper, and it comes off right behind the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Tom pulls the plug right in. I feel the hook. It's sharp as can be. Yeah. Tom takes it right off and puts a new one. It's like done. You're out.
Bye. You're fired. Mm-hmm.
You're fired.
You know. It's like the kid that gets two false start penalties in a row, right? Yep, you're fired. Get him off the field. Yeah, no question about it. All right, we got a jam-packed hour two, starting off with a little Bringing the Boat Show to You segment. Lauren Bivens, a Harbor Marine. How about some creature comforts aboard your boat? You like what's going on in your car? Here's what you can do to kind of make your boat feel like that. Also, then, the Duckworth Weldcraft Wheelhouse. Jason Brooks just recently popped a couple blogs on the Outdoor Line, his Vortex Red Dot blog. But then yesterday, he drops a Lake Chelan Kokanee blog. He's going to also talk about some year-round lakes. That, Roy Robbins, is really more, really where, rather, with George Harris of the Boat Show Connected joining us. Jam-packed hour two. Stay tuned to the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.